Now, the Daily Mail have come up with snowflake bingo. Many seem to believe that millennials, who are, I suppose, younger, slightly younger adults in their late 20s and into their early 30s or whatever, go through life feeling permanently offended. So the newspaper came up with a grid of things that have offended millennials in the past. And the idea is that if you can fill the board with all the things that have offended you, bingo, you're a snowflake. Is this all just a little bit harsh on millennials, we have to ask? And to discuss this, I'm joined by journalist and indeed proud millennial, Aisling Keenan. Aisling, you're very welcome to Lunchtime Live.
Thanks so much.
Were you offended by snowflake bingo?
I was. And ironically, the main trait, main characteristic of a snowflake is that they're easily offended. So it's very, very funny to me that I was offended by being called a snowflake. It made me a snowflake inadvertently.
Can you explain to people listening maybe who are, first of all, as we say, millennials are kind of younger adults or whatever, but and there's all kinds of generations, X's and Y's and baby boomers and everything. But anyway, for this purpose, kind of 20s and 30s, people of that age. What is a snowflake, though, and why is it offensive?
Okay, so I think people are interchanging millennial with snowflake at the moment, and I kind of feel as though snowflake can apply to a bigger range of ages. I think it's a more diverse group of people than we think. Millennials are, you know, typically we're kind of, yeah, in your 20s, early 30s, and they're people that have been comfortable with digital kind of communications and all that kind of stuff growing up. Snowflakes, on the other hand, I think, you know, people kind of think millennial equals snowflake, but a lot of the time it doesn't. Snowflakes are people who are typically entitled, have a real sense of entitlement, are seen as narcissistic, which has a bit of crossover with millennials. So I can understand the confusion. They also are extremely easily offended and very resistant to any opinion that comes in conflict with their own. So I think it's all about the kind of being easily offended and not being like emotionally capable of processing that kind of being offended by things and not being able to work their way through certain kind of conflicted situations.
And I am going to actually play snowflake bingo with you. We're going to see how much of a snowflake you are.
Test
in just a
me.
Moment. We are going to test you. But as somebody who you know, is a millennial, basically of that generation, do you think that it's reasonable, the notion that people of your generation get easily offended? Do you recognise that, or is that an unfair description of you?
I definitely don't think it's unfair. I think it's an unfair description of me, but I don't think it's an unfair description of a lot of people of my generation. However, I have to say, you know, every generation, the Gen Xers, Gen Ys, baby boomers, there was negative, you know, traits of their generation, and as well as that, there were positive traits of their generation. So I think to target a whole generation of people, millennials, and say you're all snowflakes is very, very harsh.
What would you say are the positive attributes of the millennial generation?
Oh God, I didn't list those. I think
it's going to be very telling if you can't come up with it.
Okay, it is always easier to find the negatives, and it's always easier to focus on them. I think we are, you know, comfortable with digital stuff. We're very adaptable. We don't necessarily want to have one job from when we're 20 to when we're 65, and you know, we're changing jobs. We're kind of innovative, creative, all those kind of things. Definitely more adaptable. So there are definitely positives as well as negatives.
Hand me the bingo card.
Oh,
for one moment, Aisling. I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions to see if we can find that you are indeed, you know, a typical millennial. And if you can get a full house on snowflake bingo. How about this one? Have you ever quit a job after a few weeks because it damaged your emotional and psychological well-being because you didn't get home till after 6 p.m.? These are all things, by the way, apparently that millennials have done.
Okay.
One millennial teacher did just that last year. So ever left a job because you couldn't get home after 6?
Absolutely not.
No,
I haven't. I have to say, and a lot of my peers, especially in the industry that I'm in, are well used to and happy to work, you know, long hours.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
not necessarily.
In fairness, I work with a lot of millennials and they're here morning, noon and night, in fairness to them. I like this one. Fry-ups. Will you be sitting down to enjoy the full Irish breakfast this weekend? Police in North Wales were slammed for posting a picture of their fry-up last month because apparently it was distressing to vegans. Do you find pictures of meat, for example, distressing?
I find pictures of meat very pleasing, actually. And I am completely respectful of vegans and the way they want to eat, live their lives, etc. I think the respect should go both ways. And, you know, I would be kind of very much of the opinion that, you know, you choose whatever sort of life path you want to go down, vegan, vegetarian, whatever it is. But you like your sausages and I will have my fries.
What about Sleeping Beauty? Is the story of Sleeping Beauty a charming fairy tale, or, as one woman in Newcastle declared last year, a sinister example of male harassment?
I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous to me. I think you can't, and in particular when it comes to art or for, you know, books, films, anything kind of creatively done, you can't revise that with hindsight and say, okay, that's, you know, it's very sinister. You, obviously, there's ways of looking at it that you could think, you know, what were the prince's ulterior motives when he was kissing the Sleeping Beauty? Of course you can say that. It's kind of, you know, and the burden, I think that the woman's problem in that case was she felt that parents were, you know, reading this story to their children, and the children were going to grow up thinking it was fine if a strange man came into your room at night and kissed you. That it's responsible.
Having climbed up the ivy into your tower,
course,
or wherever you live.
Of course.
What about your view on KFC? Is it finger licking good or not? Because apparently hundreds of people were upset last year because it had a dancing chicken ad and it said it was disrespectful to chickens.
First of all, chickens, I don't think, feel disrespected. I think it was more,
hard,
you know,
to know. Hard to know.
It is hard to know. I haven't spoken to a chicken recently. But at the same time, you know, there's those billboards, those vegan billboards that are around at the moment with pictures of cows on them. And those are kind of, you know, those kind of offend me slightly because it's challenging my way of life. So, there's kind of two sides to that coin.
You're not adequately millennial here at all for me. Traumatic archaeology, what people didn't dream of being able to simply walk out of a lesson, but archaeology students in the University College of London are free to do so if they find a topic triggering. What do you think of that?
I used to find 9 a.m. lectures very triggering when I was in university, so I not only did I not walk out, I sometimes didn't turn up because they triggered my, you know, need for a lion,
exactly. And maybe last one of this, because you have done badly on this. You are a very poor millennial, if I may say so. Clapping. Do you show appreciation by clapping or by doing silent jazz hands for fear of setting off an anxiety attack? The National Union of Students recommended delegates in 2015 would use jazz hands at a conference so not as to upset each other.
Jazz hands.
I'm doing jazz hands at you now.
Yeah, no, and me too. But I think jazz hands should be reserved for when you are jazz dancing.
You are a very poor snowflake, actually.
I know.
But is there a bigger picture? I mean, obviously that's a bit of crack.
You were
genuinely offended by that.
I'm not offended by the snowflake bingo. I think it's all a bit of fun. It's all good crack. And those are, you know, you have to, they're picking out the most extreme cases of snowflakiness, if you like. I don't like being referred to as a snowflake just because I'm also a millennial. Millennials aren't exclusively snowflakes. They're not, you know, they're not mutually exclusive.
Snowflakes are not exclusively millennials.
Exactly. So I think, you know, you have to kind of look at it on a person-to-person basis, certainly with me.
Is there a bigger issue, though? And I know we're nearly out of time, but is there a bigger issue about free speech and the right to not be offended, that if we are, like, this idea of non-platforming and safe spaces. So a lot of universities now will not put somebody up on stage with a contentious point of view because of the notion that it is offensive to people. But do we have a right, do you think, Aisling, to be protected from things that we don't agree with or that we find offensive in some way just because we don't agree with it or find it offensive?
I think
What's happened to the notion of debate?
Yeah, I think it's exactly the opposite. I think we would become better people for being exposed to differences of opinions, for being exposed to controversial opinions, for being exposed to things that aren't exactly what we think is the right way. And I think healthy discussion and debate is so welcomed, and in a university setting I think it's actually particularly unusual for healthy debates and, you know, controversial characters not to be brought in so that they can be challenged in an educated way. And
we've seen that. A lot of this stuff, because Daily Mail, a lot of the stuff is from UK universities, but we have seen issues around people about people from Israel speaking, about people from the Middle East speaking, and people talking about certain views couldn't be challenged because that would be Islamophobic, so they were allowed to say certain. There was all sorts of political stuff brought in. Is it gone beyond the beyonds to suggest that any speech apart from hate speech, I do think we shouldn't have hate speech, should be allowed and should be challenged rather than silenced?
Yeah, I think challenge rather than silence is the way to go. And I just think it has gotten, I actually can't get my head around this whole thing of don't talk about this for fear of upsetting X, Y and Z person. You're never going to, like, I have now to, you know, on social media, I'd be very active on social media, and I find myself checking every single sentence I say or every single sentence I publish online for fear of offending someone. And it's actually, it's been really hard to write. It's really restrictive.
Yeah.
And I just think that's, yeah, it's gone the wrong direction.
And that's quite regressive, isn't it, for society? My sincere thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Are not a good snowflake. I just have to say, Aisling Keenan, they're proud millennial and journalist, but you're a very poor snowflake, actually. You were hardly offended at all.